Today's scripture is from Proverbs 26, verses 4 through 5. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you yourself will be just like him. Answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes.
Were you paying attention to that scripture? Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you yourself will be just like him. Answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes. Really? That's what it's going to say. One of the things that people criticize about Christianity, or criticize about the scripture, is that people say it contradicts itself, that you can read one scripture one place and read something else in a different place, and it will say two different things. And never is that more evident than what we just read. It's absolutely true. The Bible will contradict itself in different places. And this is a prime example of it. And we look at something like this and we think, now what in the world are we supposed to do with that? It tells us to do one thing and then turns around literally in the next verse and says do something completely different and completely opposite. And so critics of Christianity, Christians and critics of Christianity and critics of the Bible will be quick to point these things out. It's not the only example, it's just one of the easiest. That the Bible contradicts itself. And how are we supposed to follow the Bible if it contradicts itself? And we as Christians kind of exacerbate that because listen to debates between Christians. There's a lot of them. Listen to debates between different Christian groups. Both of them will quote Scripture every time. If you have a liberal group and a conservative group, they will both quote Scripture to try to make their argument. They very rarely address the scripture the other person has quoted, but they will both quote scripture. Now, how can people who have opposite viewpoints both quote scripture and quote it accurately? And it's because the Bible contradicts itself. And there'll be people mad at me if they heard me say that. Hopefully none of you will be. But if some people heard me say the Bible contradicts itself, they would immediately get angry with me because that's something that we don't like to say. And people will get very defensive about that. And they would be very angry if someone said the Bible contradicts itself. And that causes a fight in itself sometimes. And so what in the world are we supposed to do with scriptures that say things like, don't answer a fool according to his folly. And in the next verse says, answer a fool according to his folly. It's not even split up where we can kind of act like it was written a different time. Same verse, same back-to-back verses. Here's the thing. Earlier in the service, we read the scripture from Proverbs 3. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Even if you got your understanding from the scripture. This is the key to it. Even if you're getting your understanding from the scripture, it is not a substitute for God. Let me give you a simple example. Let's say I go to the store and I buy myself a nice new table. And it's not an assembled table, it comes in a box. And I get this box of table and I get all the parts open and I get my instructions. And I follow those instructions exactly. I very carefully follow the instructions. This is hard for me because I'm completely non-mechanical, but theoretically, I could follow the instructions exactly. And when I'm finished, I would have myself a nice new table. Now, once I have followed those instructions to the letter and I have myself a nice new table, what kind of relationship do I have with the person who wrote the instructions? None. What kind of relationship do I have with the people who wrote those instructions? Not one bit. And this is the point. Following the instructions of Scripture is important, but it was never meant to be a substitute for a relationship with God. And a lot of people like to do that. We don't mean to. We don't set out to do that. But very often we take the scriptures and we read the ones, particularly the ones we like, that already agree with our position. And we build a case and we follow that. We follow that in life because the Bible gives instructions. And we follow that. But sometimes we don't have a relationship with the Spirit. We are not leaning on the understanding of the Spirit. We are not trusting the Lord. We're trusting the instructions we picked out from Scripture. We're not leaning on the understanding that comes from the Spirit. We're leaning on our own understanding and justifying that because we got it from Scripture. Now, please hear me. I'm not criticizing Scripture. I love the Bible. I love studying the Bible. I love teaching the Bible. And I think it is profoundly helpful. But it is not a substitute for the Spirit of God. And that's why you can have people both quoting Scripture and completely disagreeing with each other. This is why we've done really dumb things in our history, like fight wars with other Christians between Christian groups, because we both think we understand the Bible. It's not a substitute for God. We lean on our understanding through the Spirit, not on our own understanding, even if we can point to a Scripture. This is really, really hard, because we are taught that the Bible is an instruction book. It's not an instruction book. It has instructions in it. But it is a spiritual book. It is the story of God. It has the story of God's interactions with people. It has cautionary tales of things people have done that should warn us against doing such things. It has people who have lived triumphant lives in the Spirit of God. It has all kinds of stories of God's interaction. It has commandments. It has wisdom. It has direction. It has instruction. It has a lot of things. And all of those things need to be understood according to the Spirit of God. There is a way of reading Scripture that I don't know that it's talked about very much in the modern day. The old Latin term is called lectio divina. Lectio divina. And what it means is divine reading. To read the Scripture and hear the Spirit in the Scripture. Now, I'll give you a little trick for this. If you read the Bible, and I hope you read the Bible, please read the Bible. If you're reading the Bible, and what comes to your mind is how you can correct someone else, put the Bible down. This is what will come to our mind. Happens to all of us. We will read a scripture and we think, oh, I wish my sister would read this. If the people at work just knew this scripture right here, I'm going to put this on my desk. I'm going to frame it so everybody at work knows it. It's so easy to do because we can see everybody else's faults. It's real easy to see everybody else's faults. And it's really, real easy to see how the Scripture corrects everyone else. And so we're reading the Bible, and we read it, and we think how it corrects someone else. And then we get in the habit of that. That becomes normal for us. That we read it, and we keep thinking, why is the world such a mess when the Bible clearly gives us this instruction? Why is this nation such a mess? Why is my household such a mess? If my kids would just follow this when I tell them, you know, all these things that we think, because we're reading the Bible, if we read it at all, and hopefully you do, if we're reading it, what's going to come to mind most naturally is how it corrects someone else. And to break that habit, put the Bible down anytime you're thinking that. And start praying about how it affects you. Hear the Spirit of the Scriptures. Hear what the Bible has to say to you on a spiritual level. Not just a set of instructions that we follow. Sometimes we have this idea, this quid pro quo, this idea that if I follow the instructions, God is obligated to bless me. If I follow the instructions, God is obligated to make my life go well, that I should get what I want. And then people get very discouraged because they follow the instructions as they understand them, and things don't always go well. The Bible was never meant to be read like that. Yes, there's instructions in it. Yes, there are cautionary tales. There are commandments. But it is a spiritual book. The idea of Lectio Divina is that you read it, and you read it slowly. And you read small portions of it, and you let it, let the Spirit speak to you. You let that absorb into your life, not to correct someone else, but to absorb into your own life. It is a prayerful reading of Scripture. This is a bit lost, and I think, in our modern world, because we are so quick to correct someone else. We are so quick to see how the Bible will support our position against someone else's position. If we read it in an idea of how does the Spirit speak to us, then the whole spiritual world begins to open up through the Scriptures. It becomes an amazing thing. So we start to read Scriptures like we had today, like we read earlier, that say to us, don't answer a fool. Okay, let me just read it. I want to make sure I quote this accurately. So it says, do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you yourself will be just like him. Haven't you seen that happen before? And you might even seen yourself do this. That you start arguing with someone because they're being stupid, because they say something dumb, because you adamantly disagree with them. And so you end up in this argument that you yourself end up being embarrassed over. You think, man, I wish I'd have just stayed out of that. That you end up saying things in frustration or even anger that just embarrass you later. I think it was Mark Twain who said, do not argue with a fool because they will just pull you down to their level and then beat you with experience. There's another old saying that says, don't wrestle with pigs because you'll just get muddy and the pig will enjoy it. When you have people that just are set on really stupid things, sometimes you just gotta let it go. And when we start thinking that it is our divine right and obligation to correct everybody who's wrong, man, that's miserable. And we just embarrass ourselves. When we start thinking that, oh, they're not going to say that kind of stuff in my presence, I will let them know. We just embarrass ourselves. The whole thing gets escalated. And how many times have you argued with a fool that was saying all kinds of dumb things, and that fool came back and said, you know, I think you have a point. I've never thought about it like that. Thank you for correcting me. Anybody had that happen? No, probably not. Maybe you did, but it's pretty rare, isn't it? How many times are we going to argue with someone who's just completely off, just completely absorbed in their own stupidity, and they come back and thank us for correcting them? And that's why the Bible tells us, don't argue with a fool. Don't even answer that stuff, because you'll just end up just like them. And that's what happens to us. We get pulled down to that level. We get in all kinds of arguments. Our emotions get started. We make sure that we're going to let them know, and we just end up looking just like the fool. Then the Bible tells us, answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes. You know, sometimes people need to know when they're wrong. Sometimes if we just let it go all the time, then people are just going to go along thinking they're right all the time. People are always going to think they're right. We have a tendency to always think we're right. And if no one ever corrects that, if no one ever says, you know, there's another way of looking at this, then they're just going to keep going in the path they're going. And so sometimes we do need to answer people who are a fool just so they have at least an opportunity to not keep driving themselves off a cliff. To not continue in their foolishness. So which is it? Which time do we answer the fool and which time do we not? Which time do we state things that people need to know and how many times do we just let it go? The Bible doesn't tell us that part because that's a spiritual matter. That is a spiritual instruction. Our heart needs to turn towards the Spirit of God and allow God to direct us on when and how we can go about answering the fool or not. And all of these things in Scripture that we look at and we think, what? How come it was like this one time and this other Scripture says this? It's because there is never a substitute for following the direction of God, for following the Spirit. When we begin to absorb the Scripture, if we start to really think about this and start to really absorb this Scripture into us, then we begin to see that there are nuances in our relationship with people. These are spiritual matters that God directs us, that there are nuances to this. Yes, there's times that we need to speak up, and there are times that we just need to be quiet. There are times that we need to correct matters, and there's times we need to let it go. And that is not based on our own personality. There are some people that are very confrontational. They love a good fight. They're going to stand up for what they believe in every single time. There's other people that are very non-confrontational. They're very timid. They're never going to speak the truth. You can walk on them and they still won't object. Neither of those is correct. The Bible says both are correct. That if you go to one or the other, you're missing the other verse. And this is the nuance of working with people. This is the nuance of living in community, of being in this world, of loving our neighbor. See, but the two rules that Jesus gives us that encompass everything is love God, love our neighbor. If we love God first, all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, he directs us in this love of neighbor. And that is not always easy. There are times we need to speak up, and there are times we need to just let it go. There's times that we need to set a boundary, and there's times we need to answer the fool, and there's times that we just don't. And the Spirit of God directs us in that. This gets more uncomfortable for us because we like things to be logical. We like things to be in order. I don't know how many times over the course of life and ministry that I've preached sermons of this nature when I say things we have to follow the Spirit. And the question that comes to me after the sermon is, how do I do that? We like order. We want to be told how. Give me the instructions. They don't come from me. They come from God. We have to learn to follow the Spirit. There is no substitute for that. There is no substitute for learning how to do both at the same time. To learn how to let some things go and stand up for what we know is right at other times. There is never a time we're called to do all of one or the other all the time. We're going to be more comfortable with one or the other all the time. Based on our personality, we will be more confrontational or less confrontational based on our personality, but we're called to do both, depending on the nature of God at that moment in our life. See, God's the one that has the view of all these things. God's the one that has the understanding of all these things. Maybe it's not that the fool doesn't need to be answered. Maybe it's just not your job right then to answer it. Maybe there's someone else God is calling in that person's life. There's a lot of nuances to these things that all come from the Spirit. And so the criticism that people have and the confusion people have about the Bible is that they approach it as if it is a construction book for building life. There is no life outside of God. Yes, the Scripture is helpful. Yes, it is a teaching tool, but it is teaching from the Spirit that guides us. There are times that God will call us into that first verse and just let it go. Do not answer the fool. Okay, you're just going to get pulled down to that level, end up in a stupid argument that's going to go nowhere. And we see that happen. And there's times that God is going to call us into the next verse that says, answer the fool, because you cannot let this one go. We cannot let this person go on thinking they are wise in this area when they are not. And God is going to know when that person is open to correction or to conversation. God is the one that knows when we have the words, or maybe it's someone else who has the words. God is the one that knows these things. And so to take something as precious and as wonderful and as absolutely crucial as Scripture, and I hope you're hearing me say that, I absolutely believe in the Bible. The Bible's written word is not a substitute for the Spirit. We cannot push God aside and say, all right, I've got the instructions, I'll take it from here. Too many times, and good-natured Christians that are really trying to do well, make that mistake. Even when we're reading the Scripture, it's a spiritual process. It is God teaching us the nuances of a very difficult, confusing life in a fallen world, that God is going to lead us at different points. And this is why we have folks with different points of view. This is why we had people like Paul and Peter, who actually didn't always get along. A lot of people don't know that because Paul refers to Cephas and this argument they had. Cephas is the Apostle Peter. A lot of people don't know this, same name, same person, different name. Paul, when he describes his argument with Cephas, he's talking about the Apostle Peter. Peter and Paul did not get along. Now, which one was not following God? They're both following God. They are two of the greatest apostles of all time. These people were following Christ. They didn't always agree because God gave them different tasks. God gave them different paths to follow in their life, gave them different nuances of ministry, and that sometimes caused the two of them to clash. And that's why sometimes we need to let it go. Because even if it is not right in our eyes, God may be doing something else. But sometimes we do need to correct it. Sometimes we do need to stand up. Sometimes we need to say something. Which time is it? Ask God. There is no substitute for the Spirit of God in our life. We absolutely must be a people of prayer, even when, and maybe especially when, we read the Scripture. It was St. Benedict that said that Scripture and prayer are the same thing. They're two sides of the same coin, that both are prayer, that Scripture is prayer. It is God speaking with us, that it is a conversation with the Spirit. It's not just something to read and push God aside because we have the instructions. It is a conversation that God initiates with us through His Scripture. Even the reading of Scripture is prayer. And that's why we emphasize that so much here. That's why we talk about this every week. That's why we pray together every week. We pray together in this place. And let's pray together. God, we come to You in need of You and of Your Spirit. How many times, Lord, do we just not know what to do? We have no idea how to address the things in life. And maybe sometimes it's just the opposite. We're way overconfident that we have the way to address things if people would just listen to us. Lord, help us to know that in all of these, in our moments of insecurity, in our moments of confidence, that we need to be directed by Your Spirit. That even if we can read it in the Bible, it's not a substitute for You, that we can't just push Your Spirit aside and follow instructions. We need Your Spirit speaking with us as we read the Scripture. Help us to be a people of prayer, because, Lord, it is a complicated world. And we see in the Scriptures the addressing of that complication. That it is not just one size fits all. There are different occasions, and we need to follow You in all of that. So, Lord, give us that connection with Your Spirit in whatever area we need right now, that we may know that we are guided by You in the midst of all the contradictory things of the world and even the contradictory instructions of Scripture at times, that You give us these various instructions because You're intending to lead us through it all. Help us to be followers as Your people and as Your children. We follow You and lift our prayers to You.